Imagine spending 5 decades, 50 years in the South African music industry. You can just imagine from your own music tastes how much you would have seen and how much would have changed and happened in that time. Well, a man who's seen the inside and seen it from many different angles is now about to capture all of that in a podcast. The podcast will be called From the Hip with Benji Moody. It's presented by Solid Gold Podcasts. And Benji Moody, who has had an extraordinary career creating music labels, working with many different artists and driving South African music forward, is with us on 702 Drive. Benji, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Good afternoon, John. Pleasure to be with you.
How did you know where to start? Because did you start in the middle?
No, I started at the beginning.
Okay. So what made you want to do this? I mean, many people do things to take stock of their lives. Maybe they look over diaries or whatever, but this is quite a venture, because deciding what to leave out, I would think, is as much of a challenge as picking the best bits.
I think what makes this podcast different from a music point of view is that, you know, I allow the artists to tell their stories,
right,
first and all, and without any influence from record companies or managers. And that's proved to be really essential listening, because they, for the first time, they've been able to talk about subjects, both the challenges and the accomplishments of their careers. And not only artists, but also managers, record company execs, producers, anyone who's been involved in the wonderful world of South African music. As you quite rightly said, I've been doing it a long time and from different angles. But one thing has remained in my career is my absolute passion for the music of this country, all the different genres.
Tell us about how that's changed over time, because the music has certainly shifted. Did you think of yourself as always wanting to be ahead of trends, if you could?
Looked at trends at all. I was fortunate to be in a record company that allowed one to experiment and to sign what they wanted without having commercial concerns coming into it. So everything that I signed, whether it was, you know, Evoid or whether it was, you know, Mango Groove or Nikki Daly, was signed purely on the basis of the passion for the music. I loved what they were doing, and I believed that it needed to be heard. Some were successful, some were not. But I believe they were all relevant at the time, and nothing's changed in that way for me.
Tell us about those decisions that you make, because presumably when you hear something, you're not hearing it at its full potential. Was there ever a particular thing you were looking for? Was it a gut feel? How did you know that, wow, I've just heard something special or something that could be special?
Purely gut feel, really. I mean, and whether it was going to be commercially successful really was a progression that happened as you went along developing careers. I'm a very artist-orientated person, so throughout my career in music, I've always consulted with artists, whether it be on production or whether it be on aspects of their career. It's a pure gut feel. I mean, it was a gut feel, for instance, when Mark Alex in 1989 brought their debut album to me, and right at the last minute, they bought a cassette of a song which turned out to be Quick.
Yeah.
And the minute I heard it, I went, oh my word, that's going to be a smash. And it was right. And same with Mango Groove. You know, we had a big hit with Dance Some More and Hellfire, but it's only when we went with Special Star, which doesn't really fall into the category of a typical hit single, but it was just something that resonated. And it certainly resonated with the South African public, because it was right on the dawn of democracy. So it was the right song for the right time.
How did you know when a song was ready? Did you sometimes find yourself playing, you know, hearing something in your car while you're driving, thinking, ah, wish I'd done this, wish I'd done that? Or is that not the way you roll, that you always said, we've done this, it's out there, we move?
I've always been a great believer in a couple of takes per song.
Yeah.
You've got to bottle the lightning early. The more you play it out, the less likely that it's going to turn out the way that you want it to. So you just, I mean, there have been instances where I've left a studio going, that was a great mix, that's what we're going to go with. And then I've woken up the next morning and listened and said, no, yeah, I want to go back and mix it again. Yeah, sure, that was all part of the equation in making music.
Artists, Benji, I hardly need to tell you, are also people, and you've got creative forces who are going through breakups, who have family difficulties, physical and personal illness. Some people go through issues with their own health and possibly even addiction. How have you navigated that? Because I would have thought, on the one hand, you're working closely with artists, but, you know, you are running a company and people are saying, where's the album? Quite a challenge, I would think, that maybe is something you cover in the podcasts.
Well, I do cover it in the podcast because many of the people that I've had these conversations with in the various episodes have experienced some of the things you just said now, addiction, depression, mental challenges, etc. As you said, they're human beings. They're special human beings.
Yes.
See, that's the difference. They're very special.
Indeed.
They are the carriers of truth and in a musical form, and they deserve the respect. They don't often get it, in particularly these days. But they're special. And I mean, you just got to, if somebody's got an addiction problem, you've got to hang in with them.
Yes, yes.
And try and get them right. Sometimes, most times it works, sometimes it doesn't, and that's very sad. You know, addiction's a big problem.
Yeah.
It was certainly in the 80s, was a very, very big problem.
I want to ask you about what you're experiencing as you spend time with people you know well, but you're revisiting things. Are you having a lot of moments, either you or let's say someone like Sipho Hotstick's Mabuse, where either one of you or both of you are saying, oh, I didn't know that, I didn't realize, is this fun for you? I would imagine it must be enormously
it's
so
big fun. It's yeah. big fun. We have so many. Sipho was so great. He was great. I mean, he was really such a laugh. I mean, Sipho and I go back 40 years. I mean, mm-hmm. he was one of the first people I met when they used to sneak me into Soweto to go to the Pelican nightclub to go and watch Afro Jazz back in the 70s. And he always just said, you're the only white boy I knew that would come into Soweto to listen mm-hmm. to music. There's great stories that come out. And yeah, absolutely. They say something, I go, oh, well, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Some of them have got better memories than I have.
Yeah, it must be a wonderful pooling of recollection and the same story, perhaps equally well remembered, but different because you view it from a different perspective. Let's stay with Sipho. I mean, when you first heard Burnout, for example, what did you think?
Hit straight away.
Yeah,
it was the piano riff that did it.
Yeah.
You see, hit singles, by their nature, people think of hit singles as just choruses.
Yes.
And often it's not. Often it's the space between notes. Sometimes it's a piano. Sometimes it's a vocal line. You can never predict it. When you start to dissect music in the hope of getting a pop hit, that's when you come a cropper. So when I heard Burnout the first time, I heard it before it went on radio. I went, oh my God, that's going to be absolutely massive. How massive? I didn't know. That's
yes.
what you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same with Mango Groove. I thought they were going to be big. I thought I'd get a gold album, and I landed up getting multi-platinum albums.
Benji, we don't have any more time, but what I'm certain I've done is whet people's appetite to hear more. Where did they find your podcasts?
You can find it on all of the platforms, on Spotify, on iTunes. It's, as you said, it's From the Hip with Benji Moody, and it's intimate conversations with artists about their careers,
I'm looking forward to diving deep into that particular pool. Benji, thank you for the time you've given us. Benji Moody, South African record industry legend. He's put it all together in a series of podcasts, and it's going to prove, I would imagine, from the bits I've heard about, just from chatting to Benji now, a really stunning archive capturing a musical history that all of us have been part of, even if it's only just been as the listener on the radio or the person dancing, however well, in the aisles at a live concert from some of our legends. Great stuff. I'm looking forward to From the Hip myself.